The Bible is filled with the theme of God's rule. And it's filled with the theme of the rule of the Messiah. And the beginning of that theme is found in Genesis, which of course is the book of beginnings, right? In the Bible. And way back in Genesis 49, you have the text where Jacob, whose name is changed to what? Israel, blesses all of his sons, and he names each one, and he talks about what's going to be for that son's family in the future. And he blesses each son, and here he blesses Judah, and he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." The scepter, of course, is the rod that the king holds. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet." The king was the lawgiver. "Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering." And one translation has "the obedience of the people." Genesis 49:10. Jewish people for centuries believed this text was messianic, that it was a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah that would come through the tribe of Judah, the family of Judah. And of course, David was of the tribe of Judah, right? And eventually Jesus becomes the descendant of David, who becomes king. Jesus becomes king. But the Dead Sea Scrolls writers applied this verse to the Sion. Try to say that correctly. Shoot or sprout of David. The picture is that you cut down a tree and you have a stump, and out from that stump comes this shoot that comes out of the side of the stump, growing up and becoming another tree. Okay, the family line of David in the Old Testament was chopped down because of sin, but a shoot came out of that, and that shoot branched out, and that shoot is the Messiah, Jesus, the King and Lord of Lords. But the Dead Sea Scroll writers, you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls are. I'm not going to explain that. They wrote about this text in Genesis, and they thought it was messianic. And by the way, those scrolls were written before Jesus was born. And that shows you what was in the mind of the Jewish people when Jesus came into the world. Okay? And several ancient Jewish sources applied this text to the Messiah. The Aramaic Targums, or that's the name of those texts, written in Aramaic. They applied this passage to the Messiah. So what I'm saying is, there's a lot of Jewish thinking thought this text is talking about a king that's coming. A king is coming. And when you go through the Old Testament, you have so many prophecies of the coming Messiah. David's dynasty would be established forever. David was promised in 2 Samuel 7 as God made this covenant with David and his family to be the dynasty. The baby that was to be born, a child, a son was to be born, and his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, from Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 11, it said that that shoot would come up from that stump. The shoot from David's family would bring righteousness and peace to the nations, not just to the Jewish people, but to the nations. Isaiah 11. Jeremiah said the similar thing. He said, there's a righteous branch, tree branch, think that, branch coming, a righteous branch of David bringing justice and righteousness. The Davidic king would come, and he would bring with him an everlasting covenant of peace. That's what the New Testament is, folks. I skipped. Daniel prophesied of an everlasting kingdom that would be established. And it would be ruled, Daniel 7, by the Son of Man. What's the most common phrase used to describe who Jesus is in the Gospels? The Son of Man came to save that which is lost. David's fallen dynasty, Amos said. I like Amos. He was a farmer. A fig farmer, which I am now because I'm planting my fig trees. David's fallen dynasty would arise from ruin. And people of all nations would be part of it, Amos said. And who doesn't know Micah 5? Little Bethlehem would have a baby born there who would be from eternity, who would be a king bringing peace. And Zechariah said a king would come that would be both king and priest at the same time, which is impossible according to the Old Testament law. People from all nations would take part in his blessings. And Zechariah wrote that wonderful prophecy that said, someday a king's going to come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he will become the ruler of everything. He will be king of the whole earth. Imagine the Jewish people reading these texts for centuries and centuries and centuries and wondering, what is this talking about? Who is this talking about? I sure wish this would come because this sounds great. Imagine that. Alfred Edersheim, who had a Jewish background, became Christian. After 7 years of exhaustive research, published a 2-volume work, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, and our brethren have quoted it for decades. Using his Jewish background, Edersheim cataloged 456 references from the Old Testament that early rabbinical sources labeled as messianic. If you're here and not a Christian, those kind of things ought to cause you to want to investigate the Bible. Spend some time with it, because there's no book like it. When New Testament times came, the Jewish people were looking for that Messiah king. They were looking. Suetonius, who was a Roman historian, in his writing called The 12 Caesars, he said there had spread over the Orient, that is the East, an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world. Suetonius, I wonder where they got that idea. And all those passages we just referred to in the Old Testament, maybe. Tacitus, another first century Roman historian, wrote of the firm persuasion that at this very time, coming from Judea, were to acquire universal empire. Some great king is coming. And look, here are Roman historians who were aware of this. Do you think the Jewish people all over the Roman Empire were humming with the message of a Messiah king is coming? Yes. And even these Roman historians who were pagans knew that. Isn't that exciting? And Jesus was born to be the king. Mary was told she would give birth to a son who would be given the throne of his father David, Luke 1:32. The wise men ask, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? Where is he at? They were wondering. The shepherds were told that the baby born in Bethlehem was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Of course, the word Christ means the anointed king, God's anointed one. And the kingdom message was what Jesus' message was all about, wasn't it? As he went about preaching in Galilee, in Samaria, in Judea. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand means it's near. It's close to you. It's coming, Jesus said. He was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The good news. This kingdom is good news for the world. He taught many parables about the kingdom, like, you know, the the seed that was sown in the parable of the sower was the word of the kingdom, Matthew says in chapter 13. Mark's gospel calls it the word of the kingdom of God, Mark calls it. Matthew calls it the word of the kingdom of heaven. He taught many parables about the kingdom of heaven. And people came to him looking for the kingdom, like Nicodemus, you know, knocked on his door in the darkness of night, and he's coming in, and Jesus knows. He wants to know about this kingdom. And Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. How can I be born again? And Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth, wasn't he? And Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body of Jesus and put it in his own personal tomb. Joseph was looking for the kingdom, the text says in Luke chapter 23. And Jesus taught much about the coming and nature of the kingdom. He told his disciples that they would see the kingdom come with power in their time period. Mark 9. He said, you have to be humble like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, as his disciples were fussing with each other, who's going to be the greatest, in Matthew chapter 18. He spoke of the spiritual nature of the kingdom when people came to him and said, when's the kingdom coming? When's the kingdom coming? He says, you don't try to look and see where it's going to be, because the kingdom of heaven is within you. Doesn't that tell us there's something spiritual about it? Yeah. And when Pilate was interrogating Jesus, he says, you know, they're accusing you of being a king. Are you a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. Jesus taught about the coming and nature of the kingdom. And when he was crucified, Herod's soldiers dressed him up in purple and put a crown of thorns on him, mocking him as a king, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they kept beating his head with the reed. And of course, the reed was supposed to be his staff as a king. And spitting on him. And kneeling down and bowing before him, mocking him. Mocking God. Mocking the beloved Son. And the people stood by looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if this is the Christ, the anointed King of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers mocked him, coming up to him and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And there was an inscription above him. This is the King of the Jews. Even that inscription was a mock, if you think about it. Before the crucifixion, Jesus was eating with his disciples the Passover meal, right? And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it. This is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And here we have the fruit of the vine and the bread that we'll partake of to remember what Jesus taught us to do here. But when Jesus was eating with his disciples, he said some things about the kingdom. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. What did our song say that we sang? He's meeting us here. He's meeting us here around the table, right? Yes, he is. Jesus is Lord and Christ. He's at the right hand of God. All is in subjection to him. He is the king prophesied by all those Old Testament prophecies we referred to. And Paul says in Colossians, the Father has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. We are citizens in this kingdom, and we're gathering around the king's table with him. Those who are waiting on the table, please come. We are communing with our king, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. The word communing means that we're sharing. Is Jesus here? Yes, he is. He's sharing with us in the kingdom. We are at the king's table. What an honor. And we are here because of grace. We are here because we were invited through the good news gospel message of Jesus Christ. We were invited. And we are in the kingdom with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.